Good morning. How are you guys doing? I'm going to try to do this digitally to save on paper. I burned through enough paper at work and other things that we're going to see if this works. To kick things off, before I give you a title of a message or anything, I've kind of debated about how do I intro this. And so I kind of threw some ideas around, and I feel like the best way for me to start at this point is I need a couple of volunteers, maybe three volunteers. So and if you don't volunteer, I still may pick you. Just gonna give you a heads up here. So do I have any like willing volunteers? All right. Uh-oh. I've got somebody being pointed at back here. Is that Miss League? No, not Miss League anymore. Still League. Miss League, would you come up here? Your dad has already volunteered you, so you've got to come up here. Everybody give Jessica a big hand. She's not usually with us, so you come on up. It's okay. Nobody's going to bite. Ray, I saw you raise your hand. You can come on up. How about Fred Bates? I'd like for you to come up here, too. All right, so here's how I want to do this. I promise it's painless. I promise. You're not going to have any problems. So this is what we're going to do. We are talking this morning a little bit about our identity, okay? So what I would like for you to do is I'm going to give you just 30 seconds, and I want to put you in context of a situation. You are at an event or at school or in the grocery store where you're going to run into somebody either you know or you recognize but don't know really well. Maybe this is like a networking event. With my job, I go to networking events all the time, and I have to introduce myself and say, hi, I'm Stephen, and then I have to give some context of who I am or what I do. So I want you to think for a second, how would you introduce yourself to someone that you maybe know but don't know very well, or maybe it's a brand new person, and I want you to give me your like 30-second elevator speech about who you are. How's that? You guys think they can do this? It's not that hard, right? I wasn't to pick on Jeremy, but I thought he would like eat this up too much, so I just left him be back there. I do have to finish at some point today. I'm just. All right, so let's use Fred as an initial. Thank you. I didn't think about the logistics of this. So, Fred, hi, I'm Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. Nice to meet you.
Hi, so Fred, tell me about yourself. What's going on? So, what are we doing today?
Here today, just meeting people, you know. I'm got a family, and we've met before, but, you know, family, kids in college.
Yeah, how many kids do you have?
You have three boys.
Got three boys. How many kids do you have?
I have three boys.
Three boys, so, okay. So are you from this area?
No, not from here. Originally Virginia home, but I've lived here long enough in Kentucky to...
Call it home?
I'm from here.
Okay.
I passed that magic awesome. Number of years.
So what do you do for a living?
So I'm in the military.
Okay,
full-time, yeah. That's what I do full-time. And then my wife's a nurse.
Yeah.
And your wife?
She is. My wife is a nurse as well. So look at that. You got three boys, a wife with children. You know, it's all good.
Cool.
So, okay, excellent.
That's
awesome. Thank
you.
All right, Fred, thank you. You go grab a seat if you want. All right. Everybody give Jessica a big round of applause because... She got put on the spot here, so here you go. Jessica, now, what's the context of our meeting? I should have cleared that with Fred. So are we in
Kroger.
Okay, so I didn't pick this for her. This is her. So we're at Kroger. Hi.
Steven, sorry my hands are so sweaty.
No, that's okay. Mine are too. Don't worry. It's fine. We'll find something up here. Now, so hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Just shopping around today?
Oh, yeah, just shopping around.
Anything in particular? You like planning a big meal or?
Just groceries for the week.
Okay. I haven't seen you in a long time. What's going on in your life?
I just graduated from UK in May and applied to dental school.
Whoa. That's awesome. That's exciting. So you're moving into dental school.
I have a gap year, and I just got a surgical assistant job at an oral surgeon's office for the gap year.
Okay. Where's that job going to be located?
Up in Cincinnati.
That's exciting. Wow. How cool. So where are you going to be moving once you move into the next phase of education? Where are you going to be at?
Wherever I get in.
Okay, so we've got applications out right now. Okay,
yeah.
Mom and Dad doing well?
Yeah, they're back there. Hey, guys.
That's awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing well, doing fine. This isn't really about me right now, so I'm going to get into that later, but awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, you go ahead and grab a seat. All right, Last one up here. Come on up. You can get center stage. It's okay. Don't be scared. I know you're not scared. All right. So, Ray, here you go. So, what's the context of how we're meeting
Kroger.
Each other?
I meet everybody in Kroger.
Kroger. Man, what is up with Kroger? Nobody shops at Walmart anymore, do they?
Okay, let's do Walmart.
Walmart.
We'll do Walmart.
All right. Well, I need to do a change real quick. I need my sweatpants. It needs to be 1 a.m. I need three kids with me screaming. You know how Walmart is. Come on, people. Everybody knows. All right, so we're at Walmart. Ray, it's been a while, man. How you doing,
Steven?
I'm good.
Good to see you, man.
What's been going on in your life?
Man, working a lot, you know. You know, trying to just take care of business, doing a lot of ministry. That's about it.
How's the family doing?
Family's great, man. Good. My wife's great. I'm actually here to shop, and she gave me a honey-do list.
I know that. Okay.
So I'm here picking up some things.
Yeah.
I don't know what to get.
You going to be here a while, or is it a
grocery list is on the phone.
Okay. So. Is it a quick hit list?
Nah, it's never a quick hit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah. So, Ty doing well?
Ty's doing well, man. Okay. He's just moved out on his own, getting ready to get married in October. So
say what?
We're excited about that, you know?
Wow, yeah, awesome. Definitely. All right, cool.
First one, man. Of all the children, man. You know what I'm saying? Just hit the ground running. Love it.
Awesome. So, thank you, brother.
It's good to see you, man. How's your family?
They're doing good. That's good. I'll fill you in a little bit. All right. So, I wanted to just use that as an intro just to think about how do we portray ourselves when we're out and meeting with people. Sometimes it depends, right? If it's work, if it's just general, like a family friend or somebody you see at church, is it like a networking kind of event? Like the context of how we introduce ourselves, what we talk about. I mean, I think across the board, most of the time we're talking about what we're doing with our work, how our family is doing, all of these kind of, you know, applicable things that are going on and priority in our life, right? So I want to talk a little bit this morning about our identity and looking into that in a little deeper way. So I'm going to have an interactive thing with you guys now. So I'm going to throw out some adjectives that might describe you. And if it does describe you, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly and then put it down. Okay, it's not going to be hard. It's pretty simple. Like everybody practice, let's put one hand up. All right, now one hand down. All right, so most everybody should be able to do that, right? So if I list an adjective here that you says describes you, then I want you to raise your hand and just put it back down. All right, human. All right, female. Male. A child. See, that's always interesting because see, technically, we all are children at some point, right? So, but how do you define yourself? Single, married, a parent, grandparent, retiree, a teenager, middle-aged, a baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, millennial. We got a couple of I'm not confused. I'm in that realm. Like I have no idea where I fall on that chart anymore. Depends on the day. Right-handed, left-handed. That would be me. A pet owner. Okay, so we got some of those. Professional in their field. Businessman/woman. Small business owner. Entrepreneur. A musician. I'm going to start taking notes here. Who raised their hand? No. Athlete. Volunteer. Okay, so the list can go on and on and on, right? So I'm going to ask you three questions this morning to start out, and then we have one critical question that we're going to ask once we go through these initial three. If I was to say, do you have any form of identification on you? Who would raise their hand? What do you have, typically? A driver's license. What other forms of identification do we use?
Military.
A credit card, maybe. Passport. That was good. I hadn't heard that one yet. What else? Social Security number. Okay, so Social Security card, if you ever want a fun fact, is not intended to be used for identification purposes. If you actually look it up, that is not supposed to be used to identify who you are. However, because there is no other standard, like official form of ID within the United States, We constantly use it for that purpose. Funny fact. So I'm going to tell you a quick story before I get into my questions. I'm going to go back. My wife and I were married 13 years ago last week on Sunday. So, in the process of getting married, we decided to go on a honeymoon. We were blessed with somebody who gave us a trip to be able to go on. It was wonderful. We went out of country to Cancun. So, being the bright individual I was, I bought the plane tickets to be able to travel. As I'm filling those things out on my computer, they're asking, well, who's traveling with you and what are their names, right? So, as the unmarried individual, at the time I bought the plane tickets, I'm trying to make sure I do things appropriately, right? Because anytime you fly, it's a big deal. When you fly out of country, it's even more of a big deal, right? So being the genius that I am, I'm like, well, we're flying out the day after we get married. So I put in the computer Casey Whitehead, not Casey Winters. So we get up the next morning, we're flying out of Cincinnati, we get to the airport, and the lady who's checking us in for the bag says, okay, I need to see your identification. Mine says Stephen Whitehead. Casey's says Casey Winters, her maiden name, not Whitehead. And in that moment, I realized my fatal error. Because her identity at the time was Casey Whitehead, because in front of the majority of the people in this room and in this church, we had gotten married and we committed to each other, and now she was Casey Whitehead. But as far as the government was concerned, she was still Casey Winters, right? Thank God, as we were leaving the church, I get a call from my brother and says, hey, I've got your marriage certificate. Let me run it out to you. We were on our way to the hotel that we're staying. So we pulled over off of US 60, and he brought it out to us. Had he not done that, we would have probably had the biggest fiasco trying to get to our honeymoon. But because we had that documentation that said she had officially become my wife the day before, we were okay. But had I not had that documentation, we would have been up the creek without a paddle and in any other kind of poor situation that you could then describe. Because, you know, as a newlywed, you are not wanting to sit there and worry about official documentation at that point. You have other things on your mind. So the three questions I'm going to ask you this morning. What or who does the world say that I am? So this can be positive, this can be negative, or just kind of neutral. You know, I went through a lot of, you know, kind of adjectives to describe people this morning. You know, these definitions can come from our family, our friends, our coworkers, or just people in general in the world around us. We may be described by how smart we are, or how successful we are with our work. You know, he's an A-plus student, or he's very successful, or she's getting ready to get a promotion. Maybe it's a political affiliation. He's conservative. He's liberal, Democrat, Republican. We're not going to go down those roads, but we put labels on stuff, right? Maybe it's in regards to how much money we make. We identify people by lower class, middle class, upper class. Maybe it's what kind of job you hold. The term white collar and blue collar has been used in the past. It's not as, you know, used as well now. And then also, you know, your racial makeup. Are you white, black, Caucasian? Are you Hispanic? Maybe it's your nationality. When we come around to especially the Olympics, everybody's talking about, well, we're Americans, right? We all can identify with that. And now we're going to, you know, compete against, you know, the European countries and all these others, you know, that we start to label who we are. Most of the time, this is a surface level description of who you are. It's insufficient at really describing who is Stephen Whitehead. And in some situations with family and friends and maybe your work, it can be a little bit of a deeper assessment. It's not all superficial. But I think the next two questions that I'm getting ready to ask you can be used within the context of who the world says we are. So the next question is, this is question number two, who does the devil say that I am? Okay? And we know that this voice can be heard in our head. This can be spoken over us by the people around us. And sometimes what he speaks to us is about our pride. It fuels that. Maybe there's that lie that says we're owed something. Or maybe he's highlighting the negative. Maybe it's our mistakes, our shortcomings. We hear things like we are worthless, weak, alone, disregarded, shameful, a failure, fearful, unwanted, untrustworthy, unloved, unnecessary, insignificant, incompetent, incapable, inadequate, and in bondage to our sin. We're needing to attain some level of perfection before we can ever approach God, and we are defined by our past. These things we hear sometimes in our own mind, and then sometimes with the world around us. But John 8:44 says, he has nothing to do with truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So what we have to do is really embrace this fact that you are going to hear this over and over and over again, but you need to recognize that when this stuff starts to come against you, it is coming from the father of lies. So our third question this morning before we get to our final one, what does the Bible or Christ say that I am? Now I have a whole list of scriptures here that I want to read through real quickly because I feel like it is important for us to hear this. Because these are the things that we are going to be focused on this morning in the context of how we deal with this. So, the Bible tells us that we are a child and an heir. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:7, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Romans 8:17, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The Bible tells us that we are blessed. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Psalms 118:26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Bible claims that you are alive. Ephesians 2:4 through 5, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This continues on. The Bible claims that we are loved. Romans 8:38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible speaks that we are known and that we are significant to God. Psalms 139:1, for the director of music of David, a psalm, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. The Bible continues on saying we are beautiful and intentionally made. Song of Solomon 4:7 says, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. The Bible speaks of us being strong and capable. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Bible speaks that we are free from our sin. Romans 3:23 through 24, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And then we are a righteous example to others. Matthew 5:14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, that's a lot to go through. And there's a lot of scriptures that I skipped over and even did not put in here. But I believe it is important that we start to framework how we see ourselves in the context of what this says. Because the question that I want to ask you this morning that I feel like is the most significant wrapped around these other three about how does the world see, who does the world say I am, what does the devil say that I am, what does the Bible and Christ say that I am, is who do I say I am? There is this identity crisis, I believe, that we all struggle with. And as Paul said and claimed, you know, I am the chief among sinners. I will say I am probably one of the worst to deal with this and fail at it. Because when we ask, who are you? Just like these individuals that came up here and spoke, we have context. We have experiences in our life. We have things that shape us. We have people who have told us things, whether it was with good intention or bad intention, that frameworks how we view ourselves. And the truth of the matter is that we every day wake up when that alarm goes off and your eyes wake up and open up. You have a choice to choose how do you identify yourself that day. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning, but there is this struggle and a battlefield that exists between these objects up here in this brain where you are having to allow for one of these things to speak into your framework of how you're going to be. The Greeks had a god, and if you hear Roman and Greek mythology, they had multiple gods. One of them was referred to, I'm pretty sure this was in Roman mythology, there was a god called Janus. Janus didn't have any temples that I know of, but it was a statue that was placed out of a lot of the entrances and exits of cities. Janus was two-faced. On one side, there was an older man facing one direction, and on the other side, there was a younger man that was facing the opposite direction. And the idea behind this was that this god was supposed to recognize your past as well as look towards the future. Okay? And I think it's symbolic that that is a lot of us every day when we wake up. You know, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm encouraged. I think about things that my father has said over me. I think about things that people have said over me that have been an encouraging thing. Casey, my wife, her grandmother, who before she passed away attended this church and sat over here, she wrote me a card one time when I was in grade school that was an encouragement to me that I have thought about many times. I don't know where the card is. I had it for years, and it's probably in a box somewhere at my parents' house. But on the front of the card, there was this frog and a little pond kind of like sketch. And then on the inside, it wasn't a lot, but it was just an encouragement from her saying, hey, I've recognized, you know, you are caring, and I just see Jesus in you, and I want to encourage you to continue on in that. And, you know, those kind of things carry us because we have that life and that truth spoken over us, and it's those things that we can hold on to. But it's not every day that I have that come to my mind, and it's not every day that I'm in the process of thinking, oh, I'm ready to take this day on, right? In fact, most days I'm struggling. Because when I wake up in the morning, I think of things in context to my past failures. I have been fired from a job. I've been fired from more than one job. That was one of the most gut-wrenching processes I have ever gone through. Because all it did for me was identify myself as a failure. Because I didn't cut it, or I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Fill in the blank. So to me, that is a definition of who I am. I'm someone who's been let go. For me, I'm someone who has struggled with sin in my life. I'm someone who has struggled with, you know, managing my time. These things that I struggle with on a day-to-day basis constantly compete for space in my mind. I was at a conference this spring. I spent about a 7-month period of time where I was trying to sell insurance. That didn't work out. I realized that and quit and moved on before it got too out of hand. That was not where I was fired from. I let that one go myself. But I went to a conference, and they had this gentleman there. His name was Dr. Kevin Elko. You can find him online. He was on the 700 Club recently. I believe he's a Christian, but I can't speak to that. And in the context of this conference, like day conference that I went to, it was more of a sales-oriented thing. Like, how do we manage sales and how do we try to achieve stuff? But what the man had to say, I feel like, is applicable to us, because truth is God's truth. Amen? And now, we're going to go into a little bit of psychology. I'm not a psychologist. In fact, I had one class in college. It was 17 years ago. And I was the ripe old age of like 21. So how much I was paying attention, So I'm not a psychologist. We're not going to go down that road. I barely passed that class. But Dr. Elko was talking about how do our brains work. And he used this term that I feel like is important for us this morning. And he said, neurons that fire together are wired together. Okay? How many of you guys have ever gone walking in the woods? Okay? Or hunters. We got hunters. Randy Winters, I know you're a hunter. So if you've ever gone out in the woods, and especially in an area maybe you haven't been before, a lot of times you will come across a trail that's there, right? Roger Gaines, have you ever seen that happen before? Was it a trail that you made? Was it a trail that humans had made? No. He said no, if you didn't hear. What happens is we have animals, and around here it's specifically deer, but there's other animals that will take the path of least resistance from where they bed to where they get water to where they get food, and back and forth they continue to travel on that same path because for them they have found the easiest route. Typically it's the straightest and without as much issue that they can get through without, you know, stuff holding them back. And our brains work the same way. We continue to move in a direction over and over and over again, and we create these paths in our mind. Because when I struggle with my failure, and I'm feeling the weight of those lies that are spoken over me, that I'm like working with, I'm continuing to go back and forth across that path. I am wearing that down, so that way when I get lost, where am I going to naturally go to? Right? I'm going to go back to the failure because that's what I've continued to go back to over and over and over again. So again, neurons that fire together are wired together. And as humans, we are naturally avoidant of pain. Okay? So how many of y'all had little kids or had little kids? So what happens when we burn our hands as a little child? Do we continue to stick our hand up there and touch it over and over again? No, because we want to avoid the pain, right? When I was a tiny little child, My dad told me to leave the lawnmower alone when I was out in the yard playing because he had been mowing the yard. It was hot, and he said, don't touch it. Of course, he went inside, and I didn't plan on touching it, but kneeled down beside it, and the outside of my knee rested right on the muffler. And for about 25 years, I had a scar right here on my knee from where I touched that muffler. As a very strong reminder that I want to avoid that happening again, right? So in our natural human state, we want to avoid this. We want to avoid the pain, right? So naturally, we wire ourselves to remind us about the pain that we've experienced. We remind ourselves about the failure. We remind ourselves about the loss. We remind ourselves about the pain because we don't want to happen again. But the problem is we continue to feed the lies by continuing to go back to that. Because what God has created in us, if you have come to know the Lord, all of what we read about who the Bible says you are is who you are. It's not an option. It's not a possibility. It's not something that you have to earn. It is who you are. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, come talk to us afterwards because we can help get you on that path. But everything I read about being loved, being blessed, being beautiful, created in God's image, being successful, having the righteousness of Christ, all these things aren't an option for you. They are, period. But the problem is we continue to allow the space, this war zone in our minds, to exist. And we don't go back and stand on what God has said that we are. And so I refer to this as an identity crisis. If you pull out your wallet and you pull out your driver's license, it's going to say some specific things about who you are, right? How tall you are, how much you weigh, or at least how much you claimed you weighed. What your eye color is. And if I would show you a picture of mine, but it's terrible. Probably a very bad photo of who you are, right? All of those things define us. And we continue to hold up these failures and these lies like our driver's license in our minds when we get up in the morning. For us, it's like this card that we hold on to and we continue to use as a definition of who Stephen Whitehead is. I'm going to quote Neil Anderson. And I don't really know him, but I found this quote online and I feel like it's important. So if you know who he is, you can fill me in later. But again, truth is truth. The more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. Amen. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm not as long-winded as Ray is, so. So why are we having this discussion? Why are we talking about identity crisis? I think it's because we are at a crossroads, and not now, not today, every day, that we choose where we are with this. Because I say like Paul, I'm the chief among sinners. I'm the one who has been struggling with this. I'm the one who wakes up in the morning and is trying to figure out what defines me today. Am I standing on what God has spoken over me and declared over me, or am I so fixated on my past mistakes and the lies that have been fed to me that I can't get past it? Because there's two issues here. Satan has two goals. One is to keep you from Christ, and the next one, in the last scripture we read, we are to be a light. And if he can't keep you from Christ, the next best thing is keeping you so wrapped up in your own issues that you don't get to move forward and you don't have an impact. And so I'm here to tell you this morning as we wrap up, This is extremely important, not just for you as an individual, not just for your family, for this family as a whole. Because if this church wants to begin to stand on what Christ has said that we are, it is going to change the fabric of how we function, what we do in our day-to-day, and the impact that we have on the world around us, period. Because Satan, if he hasn't been able to stop you from being saved and having a relationship to Christ, his next best thing is keeping you solid and stationary, not moving forward, not embracing the blessings and the freedom that Christ has given you. So I challenge you this morning, and this is a challenge as much for me as it is for you. As we continue on, embrace the fact that this is our life struggle, that we have to continue to choose to stand on these promises and not continue like that deer going back and forth to our failures over and over again. We have to stand on this because the truth of the matter is it's going to be natural for us to want to do that. But if we continue to stand on this in the morning, you get up, you speak this over you, you declare this over you, and you expect and anticipate God to make this reality in your life. Because the truth of the matter is that's what he wants to do. It's up to us to embrace it and move that direction. So this morning is not a correction. Because I have had enough of that I have put myself through over the last, especially 3 years. This is not a correction. This is an encouragement that God sees you the way that Scripture has said, not how the world, not how the lies have portrayed you. And so as a church today, let's embrace that. Let's move forward in that. Let's encourage each other in that because it's how we're going to have an impact. God, I thank you for today. And God, this identity crisis that we have, I know all of us are in different places. But God, I stand and speak out against the lies that have been spoken over us. God, I pray that you silence the tongue of the enemy. And God, where we have embraced that and where we have chosen that to be our identity, God, that you would break that, that you would implant in us the scriptures, the truth of who we are in you, in Christ Jesus. God, we know it is not in and of ourselves, and as the scripture has stated, this is Christ in me. God, help us to walk in that. Help us to be true to that. And help us, God, to see that we are here to be salt and light in this world, that we are going to make a difference, that we are going to move forward, that we're going to move in blessing, that we're going to move in freedom, that we're going to move in just the Spirit of God in all aspects of our life. I pray for freedom in our families. I pray for freedom in our homes. I pray that God continue to pour out in us as we interact with the people around us, as we are spouses and parents or neighbors or coworkers. God, I pray that you continue to use us. Help us to not be stagnant. Help us to not be stationary because we are so afraid of the pain. We're so worried about the failure. God, help us to not be defined by our past. Help us to stand on the truths that you have set before us. And God, we claim all of this for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.